Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
What's up, guys? It's Denise Salcedo. Welcome to Fightful Wrestling. I gotta say, I'm very stoked because today I have an incredible guest coming with me here today. He is none other than, give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for the distraction legend, Bob O'Neill.
Hey, Denise.
Hello there, Bob.
Hello. Thanks. There's a lot of really excited about this one.
This is it, man. I gotta ask you, you know, you broke the news about Brock Lesnar returning all the way back in March. And now that he is back, how do you feel?
You know, I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm vindicated. I'm really glad to have had the scoop all along. You know, it's a big day. It's been a big week for wrestling. And I think it's great. It's very good stuff.
Well, congratulations on getting that scoop. I'm very, very happy for you.
Oh, thank you. I have a question as well, real quick here.
Oh no, here comes the pain.
And I said, psychosis!
This one's for all the pals. And O'Neill starts to feed from the jaws of victory with the pop gun and the chubby cheese. Distraction. Hey! Podcast. We will fill. Wins and losses, don't be shit. So what's Joseph Grinch as I do his bit? Distraction.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always by Joseph Holbert. And as you see, thank you to Denise Salcedo for doing the cold open.
Jeremy, I took time out of my day for this. I was like, all right, you said 5 minutes. I have no idea. You just sent me a DM saying, I apologize for what I'm going to put you through. Gave me very little instruction. I come on here and I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. I didn't even know I was going to be on the screen when we came back.
That's how this show works. We're just going to do shit, Denise. That's what we
I
do.
I love it. I love it. Congratulations to the both of you on that very lovely montage.
It's tremendous, right? We have our own theme song.
Hang on, I have to ask, was that my shitty connection or Bob's that made his like punchline all mess up?
It was O'Neill's.
That's the best thing.
Yeah, I was scared because I didn't know because I was waiting for him to finish talking so that I could do my line and I couldn't make out. I was like, I think he's done talking now because his connection was like funky.
It was tremendous. He had the one line he had to hit and he started cutting up. I was like, oh no.
Live television, everybody. Live television.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Denise, for doing that.
You're welcome. I mean, I'm always here to help the people. Here to give the people what they want.
The people love Hollywood Salcedo.
Yes, they do.
The people love Hollywood Salcedo. Denise, plug every. You're rubbing elbows with big stars, and now you've met Bob O'Neill, which is the biggest moment of your career, I think. Like Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. Who are these
that
people?
You just interviewed
Robert O'Neill.
Jeremy, that was better than when I interviewed the cardboard version of Brock Lesnar. I did an interview with cardboard version of Brock Lesnar. This was it, man. That was my peak right there. I'm gonna have to retire now because it's not gonna get better than that. But do I just like plug it? What's going on next? What's happening? Jeremy gave me no instructions, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how this works. I don't give anybody instructions.
For a couple of minutes, and I was like, all right, cool. I will do that. All right. So BTW, I guess I'll plug my giveaway because that's actually what I'm working on right now. I'm about to post the biggest giveaway ever on Twitter. So that's coming up. And then Saturday, I'm doing a Kahoot game on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. It's going to be an AEW all-out trivia. And given that there's only been like two all-outs, it's going to be like a pretty easy trivia game. But I'm giving away prizes for that. It's going to be like a live game. 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. British Summer Time. So that's going to be the time slots for that. YouTube.com/DeniseSalcedo. Also, I have a hit tweet. Jeremy, Joe, have you guys seen my hit tweet of AEW wrestlers as Toy Story characters?
Yes. Yes.
It's my biggest tweet ever. Well, not the biggest tweet ever, but people are loving it. Go look at that. That's
all your tweets are hit tweets, Denise. I'll say.
Yeah, I know. That's all I've got.
Thank you so much, Denise. By the way, you're like, you gave me known. I messaged you yesterday to get you. Normally, I just like DM people 5 minutes before the show, and I'm just like, hey, can you come on and do this bit for us? So you got more notice than most people got.
That's fair. I can vouch for that. That's actually how it usually goes. That's fair.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise.
Bye, guys.
I appreciate it.
Bye. That was tremendous.
Justin, what are we doing? What is this show?
I mean, I pulled that punchline out of nowhere, but without that, we had even less. We didn't have a question.
Denise is a pro. Bless her. She's a pro.
Did you see the energy levels when the live hit? Did you see how different the vibe? It was because before, like Denise was running through what she had to do, and it was like, you know, it was what it was. And then when we hit live, my God, it was a performance. And then, bless her, the screen comes up with Bob, and he's like, hey, and his internet messed up. He followed my lead with that. That was incredible.
JJ has a super chat. Hello to favorite big stars. Hope the day is good. Just enjoying my guy Punk back in wrestling. He's got scoops. We're winning. Love you both. Thank you, JJ. We are winning. We definitely are. Jay says, Bob, don't ask Denise to run you over. No, we avoided that one. But Ryan says, awkward as I'd hoped. Great stuff. Much love to everyone. Thank you, bud. What else we got here? Van Twin Blade said, wouldn't be rightful if Denise didn't get bullied. I think you mean it would be fightful if Denise doesn't
get bullied. Either way, right? Yeah. Works.
We're not bullying Denise. You kidding? No.
I mean, that was like as bad a thing as you can think. We just put her on with Bob O'Neill, unlayered anything. Just put her on. Good luck.
Drew says, we win, we own the night. No, we can't own the night. That's trademarked. The night is trademarked.
We actually share the night with them now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
They got a big night tonight. You know that, right?
Braun. I heard Bud Murphy's coming in.
Yep, Braun, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, they're on Braun to Glory, the road to Braun to Glory.
You know, Carter tonight too, I hear. That's where Tanahashi's going there rather than AEW. There's a lot of stuff going on, so tune in.
The best part is like people are running with this as if it's a story. And
dude, I'm not a scoop star. I kind of feel for Scott that's been like aggregated because it's been some places of, I can't believe we're starting a show like this. If you know every show I do now is just Buddy Murphy talk, but seriously. Like, there are some places that everyone has, they're expected to announce the signing of Buddy on BTI, and it's like, oh, I don't know about that. That's not quite how what I took from that video, but okay, we'll see.
He's had a few beers at a baseball game. Like, you know, I don't think he's out here passing out scoops in this regard, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is how the Demore operates.
I kind of hope so. I respect it, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd have to respect it.
The non-compete isn't up, though. It's not up till August 31st. It's a taped show. What are they going to do, announce him? It's just a vignette? They're just going to play a vignette that he's, I mean, that he's coming soon?
We are suggesting they announce him at the ball game or stop that drama. So, I don't know. I mean, I think his tweet was a pretty fair reaction. Just like, well, I don't know what's going on. You tell me. So, there you go.
Oh, man. What are we talking about, Joseph? We are on the road to Braun to glory. Let's talk about Dynamite. From last night, since we are an AEW review show. Chris Jericho, his last match. I'm going to be there live for his last match ever, Joseph. It's going to be a monumental moment. I might cry as Chris Jericho loses to MJF and has his final match in AEW history.
You know, I have to be honest. I had a feeling they were going to do this because last week didn't feel like the blow-off, right? Didn't feel like it. And I didn't want to say that I felt they could do this, but I kind of thought they may. I don't love it. I will say this, Jeremy. I think people are being a bit hyperbolic when they say, you know, like, if Jericho wins, it's like, it's terrible. It's Jericho's a big star. But I do think Jericho's absolutely 100% winning. Like, I'm convinced Jericho's winning. And that's, is that ideal? No, I wouldn't do it. Do I mean it's the end of the world? No. Like, when was the last time MJF got pinned?
Moxley? Yeah, I think Moxley.
A year ago.
Yeah.
he'll be fine, but I don't love it. I got to be honest. When that match ended on TV, I just thought, oh, man, I'd like that to be it, but I don't think it is, unfortunately.
But that, like, he tapped out. That should have been it. Like, how do you get more defensive?
He couldn't do the Judas effect. Do you remember when he did this and he went? Do you remember that?
I do remember this. Yeah, I know that it. Even though he tapped out, it didn't feel fully definitive. And, like, if it wasn't, this was always going to be the stip. He puts his career on the line, right? I don't like it. You're right that, like, it doesn't – it's not going to hurt MJF if he loses this match. He'll be fine. He's still – it'll be 3-1 against Jericho. It'll be okay. But is it necessary? That's the question I have. Like, is it necessary? And it's just – it's not. It should be over. Jericho should regroup, recover. Try to move on with his life. Just move on, buddy. Like, I understand it eats at you and you can't sleep at night because MJF beat you. Like, try to rebuild yourself instead of going back to this.
I didn't love it as a babyface promo, right? Like, I'm just not going to stop. It felt almost heelish to me the way that he was just basically saying, like, you can beat me 101 times. I'm just going to keep, like, whining about it. It was weird. And his delivery was committed, but it wasn't. It felt like he knew he was kind of fighting uphill, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know. I didn't feel it. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. Like, we have to talk about Dynamite in general because it was a very, what would be the word, interesting episode, unique, puzzling, confusing. Yeah,
the last couple there. So, I think you were being generous with those first couple of comments.
So I'll be honest with you, okay? Before I go any further, this is not me doing the sky is falling or, you know, they may be out of business soon. Yes, it's me just saying, as a fan of their product, they've set a very high standard. I think most of us agree they fell short of that standard last night, which is fine. However, there are some issues I think we can actually kind of, like, single out and look at. There are gripes I have with the first 90 minutes of the show, but I have gripes with every Dynamite. I have gripes with every wrestling show. That's wrestling, right? That's fine. However, we do need to be objective in saying the last 25 minutes of last night's show were bordering on insane. To go to do the Factory versus the Gun Club. And by the way, I like QT. I have no problem with QT. If he was going to lose anyway, why put him against those guys? You could have put someone higher on the card, right? And then to main event, with Malakai beating Brock Anderson, that's one thing if you're setting up an angle. Lee Johnson. I love Lee Johnson. You don't send him out there at the end of the show. It was just... It was puzzling. The decisions were really strange, I thought. And sorry, Jeremy, but just I didn't think this show had an obvious main event, but of all of them, Brock and Malakai was the least. You could have done Orange and Matt, I think it would have been a better fit. You could have done the tag, and it would have been a much better fit. Just a strange show. That's all. It was a little bit, especially for the biggest part, and this is the thing we'll probably get into, Jeremy, it was doing it after Punk. It was like, oh, man, this wasn't the time to be so experimental. But that's my take. What are you thinking?
Yeah, So a couple points. One, look, they can have shows that are misses, right? Like, it's going to happen. It's tough to keep, especially the run they've been on. It's tough to keep that up every single week. You're going to have shows that are misses. It doesn't
like you said, the sky isn't falling. They ain't going out of business. It's about like long-term growth and stuff, right? And they've shown that long-term, they're slowly building that audience. I don't know what the rating is going to be. It'll come out during this show. And really, it's not that concerning. The big thing is they had Punk on Friday. They had Punk advertised for this show. You want a bit of a stronger show with the Punk effect there. And I don't think they gave them a strong enough show. And that's fine. Because you got people to tune in. I guess you put over the guys you kind of want to put over. Like next week, is it going to drop? I think they're playing a long game here. Joseph, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I think they're playing a long game here with guys they're coming in. We had the Daniel Bryan tease and everything. Other guys might be coming in as well. So they're playing a long game when it comes to building the audience. They're not going to have hits every single week. They should have had a better show put together with coming off the heels of Punk coming in. They should have had a better show. And right. When you looked at that card on paper before it happened, you're like, what is the main event for this show? Because there wasn't anything strong enough. Like Orange and Matt and the tag team match, Varsity Blondes and Lucha Bros. I think those were the strongest two potential main events. You can do Malakai and Brock, but like you said, you got to have a strong angle. And when they announced that as the main event, you were one of them, Joseph. And it was like, oh, Cody's coming back. Like we're getting a return of Cody here, because you ain't main eventing unless you got some type of like.
I wasn't that excited about it, but I did say that. Yes,
I know you weren't excited about it or anything, but like this is what everybody thought, right? It's like, oh man, if they're main eventing with Malakai and Brock, like they got to have something strong to close this out, because everyone knows this is a squash. And it was, and it should have been, but the thing to close it out was Lee Johnson, who I'm pretty sure lost to like Powerhouse Hobbs on.
He lost to the last time we saw him on Dynamite was Miro, I think.
Okay, but didn't he lose on Dark recently, or am I just making that up?
No, he didn't lose on Dark. No.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't know. I actually watch those shows a lot now. Unbelievable. Can't believe I do, but I do.
Regardless, he comes out, and like, why is Malakai afraid of this man? Like, why is he like backing off from this guy? Like, it should have kicked him in the face too. I don't know. It wasn't a good angle. It just was not a good angle at all.
It was that, and that's the one thing I do. So if your response to our discussion right now is, hey, be fair, they've had good weeks every week, and this, I agree with that. However, with wrestling, sometimes you can put the best card together and it just doesn't click. I think what Jeremy and I are getting at here is this was one that on paper didn't look good. So we all assume they must have some like icing to go with this cake, right? They must have something up their sleeve. And the truth was they didn't. So it just was the card that they advertised. Now, here's what I'll say. I think some of the talk about what this show would look like to a new viewer is overstated. I think the person that doesn't already watch Dynamite did not sit there enraged at seeing QT Marshall like some of the people that are probably watching this show did, right? I think there's a lot of stuff that was good on last night's show. For example, I like the Kenny and Christian segment. Malakai's whole presentation, I think, is awesome. And they've nailed that completely. I love that they've found him a spectacular entrance that doesn't feel out of place in AEW, if that makes any sense. It doesn't feel too cinematic, but it just is cool. It's awesome. You still got a really cool Lucha Bros match, even if I think that was, you know, not their best effort by any means. It's a case of they've built high standards for themselves. And I don't think it's up to us to be like, well, whatever. They've got a roster good enough to not main event with Brock Anderson versus anyone.
Yeah.
That's the actual truth there, okay? And like, it isn't a case of, well, if they get Adam Cole or, Daniel Bryan, they'll stop. It's like, no, let this be fair. They didn't need to do that as the main event. That's a mistake. Next week's an interesting show, Jeremy, and this is kind of a conversation I want to have. So Friday has been taped. We're not going to spoil that, obviously. So what we have advertised is Ty Conti and the Bunny, the Christian and Kenny tag, and obviously the final tournament. And the final tournament looked ground paper. That's the word. That is great. No doubt there.
If only people didn't spoil it, and, you know.
Okay. Now, next Wednesday is interesting, because next Wednesday is the go-home, and we have Hobbs and Cage, which is a big match, right? I mean, is it one that you go absolutely, oh my God, but it's a good match.
Yeah.
And then you have the big tag main event of FTR and Santana and Ortiz, which obviously injury prevented the last one from being what it could have been. I think we're all excited to see them guys do the match they want to do.
Right.
But then there's this other match, Orange Cassidy, Jack Evans, where you go, there's some weird stuff on these shows recently. And I'm not saying it's, I'm not saying it makes the shows bad by any means, but like, why is that match happening? And to that point, I talked about Daniel Garcia a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm going after him because I think he's great, but why is he still tied to the three baby faces? Why is he still going after Darby? Like, it feels like some of these matches just don't need to be happening right now. And with TV time at a premium, Jeremy, is that an error in this system that has been very successful, I would say? It's just, do they need to be doing such sort of unappealing matches when you have such an all-star roster, if that makes any sense?
I don't hate the Orange Cassidy-Jack Evans match if it took place 3 weeks ago or something. Like, Orange just beat Matt Hardy. It feels like that's the end. He beat the head guy. He beat the leader of the House of Hardy. Why is he now facing Jack Evans? Like, can we not just move on from this? That one's definitely a weird match. I look at this lineup right now. I think they're adding something. I think they're adding something involving the Elite and Christian and maybe the winners of the tournament or something, because, you know, they love their big go home brawl on the go home shows. Yeah. And it's, unless you're doing it with Jericho and MJF, who are doing sit down interviews already, there's no main event here that's like, oh yeah, this is our big go home closing angle for the pay-per-view. So I think I don't think either any of these matches are main eventing. I think FTR Santana Ortiz is obviously the likely one that of what's announced. I think that gets the 9 o'clock spot. And I think something else gets added so they can set up their big closing show brawl that they love.
Okay, can I be honest with you? I brought up that whole match purely to put myself over, hoping someone in the chat would bring up my booking idea. And RWH has done it. Please pull that on the screen, Jeremy. I would like to give this man a shout. Here he is. This is what we're doing next week with Jack Evans, Jeremy. It's time, baby. It's time. I've gone through every fantasy booking scenario. This is the one I've settled on. I think Matt Hardy is doing an admirable job of having sound professional wrestling matches. I would recommend that faction has a singles guy. Because right now, it is Matt Hardy in three heel teams. And I would suggest, whether it's Bud, Braun, whoever, I don't give a shit, Daniel Garcia, I don't care. I would suggest they shoot an angle with that Jack Evans match next week. If it's just Orange winning, I love babyfaces winning on TV. He just won, as you pointed out. It isn't the time, it isn't necessary. But so, guys, where are you at on All Out right now? So we're in a situation where you and I have always been kind of, I don't know, outspoken, but we've always been a little bit, I don't know about the pay-per-view builds. This is one of those ones where it doesn't feel like they've done a great job. And then I look at the card and I go, well, because the card is pretty damn awesome, man. I don't know. Where are you at on this?
It is an awesome card. Like, if you just look at it on paper, it's very strong. And they're going to add Kingston and Miro, I would imagine, to this card. You know, I love that match. Has the build for it been that great? Some of it, no. Like, but Moxley and Kojima got announced last night. Love Kojima. You know I'm excited for Mox. After teasing Tanahashi and everything, it's a letdown, right? Like, maybe we'll get the Moxley-Tanahashi match at some point. They teased it more or less for All Out. I mean, Dave was out there reporting it. He also reported Suzuki was the other option. We know Suzuki's in the United States later in September. So I don't know what happened. Obviously, things fell through. Something happened there. That's fine. But like, to come with Kojima, if that's the best they could do, it feels like a little bit of a letdown. As much as I love Kojima and as much as Moxley, look, Moxley and Nagata was good. And I think Kojima at this point is better than Nagata. So it'll be a good match, but it's not a match where I'm like, oh yeah, it's just Moxley like calling out a New Japan guy. And he gets one of the dads. Like, he doesn't get like a top guy or anything. He just, like, that's the angle, right? They're not interacting on TV or anything. It's just Moxley calling out a New Japan guy. And it's like, okay, here's the guy you're going to get. Go ahead.
I've said this before. I think you're going to get someone challenging Moxley after the match for Cincinnati. Because that is the next Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong
on
this?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I would guess Suzuki. Because he's in America, you know, and I'm not saying it's better. I actually agree with you. I love Kojima, but I understand your response of like, it isn't exactly the name we all initially went to, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a case of they want Moxley on the pay-per-view card, and yes. Like, you have to find a middle ground, right? If that makes sense, like they're going to have him beat someone on the New Japan roster. Who can you get firstly? Who would they allow to lose? All of these different things. It's a fine match. I agree with you. It isn't blockbuster by any means, but it certainly was never going to be the story match of the show.
Right.
Now, to that point, Miro and Kingston has a lot of story potential. Do you think we're getting that, baby? Or is Eddie going to kind of, I don't want to say duck, but like, are they going to tell a story with Eddie not wanting to fight Miro yet?
Now that like I'm thinking about it, because Eddie hasn't mentioned him at all, right? It's just Miro doing the call out. This is already going to be a long card. And I mean, their pay-per-views go until midnight anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they save that for Arthur Ashe. Maybe that's where they end up going with that match. And if that's the case, that sucks, because I want Eddie and Eddie and Miro on the card that I'm going to. I'm not going to Arthur Ashe. I don't care what's on that show. Is Miro just not on this card then? That seems like a, I don't know, I don't really like that choice either. What else is on the show? Like Chris Jericho and MJF. We talked about it. That's not really.
It is interesting that this show has two matches that have been on TV within the last 2 weeks, right? Yeah. With Christian and Omega and Jericho and MJF. I think in fairness, I'll speak for myself, but I think you agree, Jeremy, our excitement levels are contrasting in those two cases. I think Christian and Kenny convinced me I'm much more into a match for the AEW title with their first match. MJF and Jericho was fine. I liked it. It wasn't, you know, where I'm sitting there going, I need another one. One of those matches needs a stipulation, fair to say. I mean, I'd say Jericho. Yes. Jericho needs something, I feel like. What are we thinking here? Last man standing? Where are we going?
I think we're doing Christian Kenny ladder match. I really do. I mean, they got a cage match with the Young Bucks already. So yes. maybe that they think that's their big stipulation match, is they're doing the cage match. I don't even like the I feel like I'm going to spoil it, but like the tag title match, it'll be a good match, but I don't feel like
you said that last week. Yeah. Without spoiling, yeah. Like you basically said, whoever wins it, it's not a story so much as it's just, here's a tournament. I understand what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Now here's the thing though. And this is the big part. I think those of us that already watched the show probably not missed, but we took for granted. Dude, Punk is I knew Punk was a big deal. Punk is kind of transformative, isn't he? Like, this show, we all agree, was one of their weaker shows, and Punk felt like he was on a different stratosphere. And you could also tell, and if you track the who are the gentlemen that do a great job on Twitter with the tickets? WrestleTix,
yeah.
At WrestleTix, you follow those guys, they do a great job. But they actually pointed out that this show wasn't doing great sales until Punk debuted, and then he spiked the number. Did you get the sense last night, Jeremy, that crowd was actually like a predominantly CM Punk audience? Because they wasn't as rabid as a general AEW crowd. Did you notice that? Like, the stuff that AEW crowds would normally just generously kind of pop for, they wasn't there for. But then when Punk started cutting his promo, it was like, they were there for that, it felt like to me. Am I alone? What are you thinking?
No, because people didn't say like it was just a Punk-centric crowd, but people said like, oh, this Milwaukee crowd isn't what we're used to. With AEW, it's their first time in that market too. And look, they didn't give them the greatest exactly. show in the world. Yes. So I don't know how much I put this on the crowd or anything. But yeah, Punk was certainly felt like the biggest deal out of everybody. And the reaction said as much. Would you have, so going back to Dynamite, I said that maybe you close with that tag team match and then you shoot the angle. And then that's obviously the first match on Rampage this week. So you kind of lead in to that. You know the 2-day lead in that like Raw and NXT has as well. Mm-hmm. You do that, or AEW very rarely closes with a segment unless there's action, right? I think SB3 said on Twitter is like, oh, Moxley Inner Circle decision, MJF announcing the Pinnacle, but like those are segments, but they had action. They had big brawls or whatever. That Punk segment didn't have any action. Like, do you just close with that?
So if you give me that card and said format it, I probably close with Punk and I probably add on not physicality with Darby, but some kind of visual that makes people go, oh my goodness.
Right.
Now, what's really interesting about this conversation, I think, is if there's one thing I did take from last night's Dynamite, they felt that last night was the main goal to me was we're going to sell this pay-per-view. Because I could be wrong on this, Jeremy. I felt like I hadn't even seen the All Out graphics before last night. I didn't see any. They talked about it a little bit on the show, like he's wrestling All Out. But last night was the first time they started doing those deals where they run down the whole card, you know?
Right.
And I think their play on it was the TV audience is going to go up a little bit, but we're not going to, you know, we've got Punk to bring them in. And I don't agree with this, by the way. I think they should have gone, you know, swung for the fences. I think their ideology was those new viewers, we need to convince them to buy the pay-per-view. Now, could you have done that without having Brock Anderson main event? Absolutely. I'm not saying you just get on, but what I'm saying is I think that was their thought process. Because my real answer to you, Jeremy, is I wouldn't have main evented any of this. I would have booked a main event match. Like, yeah. Hobbs and Cage could have been on this for no. There's no reason Hobbs and Cage couldn't have been on this week.
Right.
At all. So, they've got a lot of options every week. And I do think this is where their rotation is so fascinating. And I mean fascinating, because sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Last night's show had the Wingmen, who I adore, but they are the Wingmen. You know, it is what it is. I love JD, but it's a certain level of act. You had the Gun Club, the Factory, and it's like, I'm all for rotating, you know? But like, you don't need to pay world-class talent that level of money if you're going to book guys out on TV a lot. And in fairness, they don't book them a lot, but would you book them all on one show? It just was, and I think that's our conversation here at its core. And I'm sorry, folks, if it's a little bit all over the place, but like, I think we're both just trying to figure out the thought process. Like, even with my point about the pay-per-view, that doesn't mean you would book a main event like that. Like, normally their Dynamites have 2-3 main event matches. This had none. It's just, it was fascinating, man. I don't know. I'm really intrigued to see what these next few weeks look like. We already see next week looks better, but like, that roster's way too good to be turning out the matchups this one had, if that makes sense.
I think next week will be, like, next week they'll be fine. Again, I think they're adding another match to do an actual main event. But you're going to get Hobbs and Cage, which is a good match. You're going to get the tag team match. If they do add the shoot your angle main event, it'll be good. They're allowed down weeks, right? Like, it can't be a home run every single time. Sometimes it's a single. Sometimes, you know, it's a bunt and you just move the runner over. Like, that's what happens on some shows. I think, and we've talked about the issue, is it's not a great follow-up to the Punk stuff. Like, you should have had just more of a banger coming off of that Punk debut, because even when Punk came out, obviously he felt like the biggest deal on the show. And obviously he wasn't going to get the Chicago reaction. He got a big reaction and stuff. But it just felt like, all right, he's just coming out of the 9 o'clock segment. I didn't mind his promo or anything. Like, I thought it was a good promo. It didn't. It's just a lot of stuff that I've heard him say a million times in media interviews. Like, none of it was really like, oh, this is a match. Like, the intrigue to this Punk and Darby match is basically it's CM Punk's return to wrestling, right? Like,
yes.
There's no real, like, I don't really care to see this as like whatever story they're trying to tell. It's just like, all right, it's CM Punk's return to wrestling. Can he go? Again, I've heard him say all these things in media interviews. He's basically playing himself right now, which is fine. He's been out of wrestling for a while. He's just playing like Phil Brooks, essentially. Like, Phil Brooks is returning to wrestling as CM Punk. I'm ready for, like, I'm already ready for like CM Punk professional wrestler, where he's like really digging in to stuff. And I don't think we're going to get that initially, obviously. Like, he's gonna do this run of just I'm happy to be back type of thing. But because I hear all these media interviews already, and then I see it on TV, I'm just like, all right, I've heard this. This isn't anything like fun to me. This isn't anything new.
I get that. I think that your perspective obviously is like unique,
yes,
right? Because you have to listen. Like, you have to listen to that. And here's the thing: it's that way right now, especially because you don't want to have a conflict between Punk and Darby, because it's a match. And it's a poster, and it's a dream match, and it's a generational clash. But their fan bases are going to have overlap. So you don't want to – basically what I'm saying is you need it to be a case of Punk being like, this young dude's the man, I want to see if I can still go. Because you want them to – you want new viewers that love CM Punk to be like, okay, I'm also a Darby fan, if that makes any sense, right? So that's why I think it's that way. I agree with you. You know, certain feuds are going to require different things. I have no problem with him playing himself, because I think that's, you know, he's a guy now who's Harold is Punk 42. Like, he's,
yeah.
I don't think he wants to be out there kind of screaming and ranting and raving or whatever. And it'll be interesting to find his way. I'll say this, Dan, it's an interesting conversation to have, but I'd like to see the chat get involved. I'm really fascinated by the idea that before he even steps into the ring to wrestle, the metrics we've seen over the last few days suggest that Punk is in. If he's going to be on this show regularly, and by regularly I mean like, you know, once every couple of weeks in a promo or in a match, he is really in the ballgame in terms of the biggest star in the business already. Like, yeah. If you really look at what – and here's the thing. It's a completely unique circumstance. The guy came out after 7 years in his hometown. I get it. I understand. But, like, there's not many guys that could realistically say they're a bigger star than him, right? And that's interesting because you could argue that's new for AEW, even with all their great talent. That is pretty special.
Does that drop off if we do see him every week, though? Like, maybe. Because we know AEW, and I said this after Kenny won the title, where we're used to after these title wins, it's like, okay, you open the show, you follow up. Kenny just comes out at like 9:30. He had the cool like helicopter entrance and whatnot, but he just felt like another guy. They didn't even show like a video package or anything from what I remember.
Right.
Like if you just put him out there every week and he's just kind of being Phil and whatnot. Like, do people just be like, okay, like, I've seen this, and does that, like, drop his star quality? Because, like you said, right now, it's a big deal because he hadn't been around in 7 years. It's something completely different, something completely unique. If he's used more, if he does just wrestle, like, does he – I don't want to say become, like, a cog because AEW has kind of shown they'll boost the talent over the brand. But does he just become, like, oh, here's CM Punk. He's wrestling a 9:15 match.
I think there's a lot of logic to what you said. I just think he's kind of an anomaly, dude. I think people that he means more to people than I ever realized. And that's why I'm not going to say I agree with your theory on 99% of cases. Punk is a guy that left for 7 years and people chanted his name and waited for him. I mean, it's outrageous how much people love CM Punk. So I think people are just happy to have him be a cog, if that makes any sense, because they just want him back on the show. They're so happy to see him. I think John's got a good point here, and it's something I kind of played with. Think about it earlier. I definitely think there was something to this idea that Tony Khan or whoever put this show together, I guess Tony Khan, right, wanted to feature familiar faces. You know, and he says Billy Gunn on Matt Hardy. I'll be honest, I don't think they were the right faces to feature.
No.
But I think he's right. I think that's what they thought. Here's what I'll say. Matt Hardy, people like Matt Hardy, okay? And you can use Matt Hardy, definitely. I would be careful with Billy Gunn. I'm going to be honest with you, I think most people see, as great as he looks, I think people see him and go, my God, Billy Gunn's still like, it isn't, you know, not exactly contemporary wrestling.
It's, why would you want to feature familiar faces, though, when you have Punk and that's going to be the guy who's drawing the audience anyway?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, in that sense, like, I would want to feature more of the new faces and stuff. And, like, what, familiar faces, okay. Matt Hardy, the Matt Hardy-Orange Cassidy match made sense. At least there's a feud there, right?
Matt's fine, right? That is weird. Right. That's okay.
Right. Like Billy Gunn, Arn Anderson, just to throw his kid out there to get murdered. Like, what? You've already got Moxley on this show. Sting's there with Darby. Like, you've got familiar faces. I don't need Billy Gunn and Arn Anderson out there in these spots. I don't need them.
It does rule that this may have been the actual conclusion they got to, though, right? Like, I need to see some Billy Gunn to know they can get invested in this thing. No, I agree with you. I'm trying to piece it together. Like, I just thought it was a weird show. And again, let me stress one more time. I don't think this show was, like, even a bad show. It was just fine.
Yeah.
And it was the weirdest week to do a show that was like this ever to me. It's just, I don't know. It was an interesting, philosophically, it kind of fascinated me in that regard. But I am all out is becoming a truly bizarre, incredible case study of the conversation we've had a million and one times about, you know, this, their pay-per-view, their approach. Like, I just think it's so odd, and I'm really intrigued to see how heated these matches are in Chicago. We know they're going to be there for Punk, right? Not in terms of they're there, in terms of everyone's already bought their tickets. I don't mean like that. I mean, they're going to be with the match where Punk's in, obviously. I want to see how much true investment there is in the rest of these matches. If it goes off as well as Double or Nothing did, I am willing to just try my best to retrain my brain that I will not see the pay-per-view card until 2 weeks before a four-month build. Now, the next pay-per-view build is interesting in ways anyway, because Full Gear is only 2 months. It's like the GMD is 2 months, right? So, it's different for sure. But, man, it's something. Like, to have four pay-per-views a year,
Like, it just all comes together at the end. He's just weird. I don't know.
Yeah, we've touched on that. Right. And you know, that's one of my biggest gripes with the company is that the pay-per-view cards, a lot of them don't feel like the culmination of stuff. This one, they're done. Like, I assume this will be a definitive end to Jericho and MJF until Jericho wins. And MJF is like, well, I'm 3-1 against you, so let's do another one or something. I assume it's the end to Kenny and Christian. It isn't a definitive end to something, or it just hasn't been built. And I think there is, at least in my mind, there's an argument that some of these matches just like haven't been built that well. Andrade and Pac, look, this is going to be a great match. I ain't feeling this like build outside of, here we go, here's two just great wrestlers. They're just going to go out. I got to be honest, Joseph. I look at this card and there's not matches where I'm just like, oh man, I just can't wait to see this. Like, either the build has been great for this, or it's guys that I'm just like really interesting in or really interested because I have some type of attachment to them. Like, the guys that I have the attachment to, they either don't have matches, or their matches just don't appeal to just, you, like Mox.
Right, yeah. I understand that. I think there's definitely something to it. I think, as I said earlier, I think Parvi is the two of the bigger matches on the show we saw in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I think there's an element internally of, we've got Punk. Not take it easy, but let's, you know, just speak this rein in. I think stuff, obviously Hangman's a unique situation. That is what he is. I don't think you're wrong by any means. I'll say this much, though, in terms of the beer, like you said about Pac and Andrade, I think you can go a step further and just say that, look, man, I mean, Andrade, not because I think he's washed or any of that stuff, he needs a great match here just to like remind people he's in AEW. I mean, yeah. I mean, they have, whether it's forced or unforced, I don't know what the situation with Andrade, but my God, has it been weird. I mean, he came in nearly 3 months ago, because I think he came in at the start of June. It was after Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, think about this, seriously. He wrestled a match on the first show back on the road against Sydal. That was the start of July. I'm all for making guys an attraction, but Andrade, if you don't believe he can have great matches, I don't know what the point of Andrade. I mean, I love the man. You know that. I love him.
Yes.
But you sign a guy like that to have great matches. So he's been a really puzzling one. I'm hoping this match is going to be the start of him in AEW, because to me, he's barely got going right now. And I get the Sydal match was frustrating. I understand. But, like, that doesn't mean you just stop, right? We need to, like, he could have been doing stuff on the TV. I don't know. He's the one that I actually circle as, like, look, this show's a rare miss for them. That's fine. They'll be back. But Andrade, every week I wait for him to do something. And it's just like, he walks around backstage with Chavo. He says, like, a couple lines, and that's it. It's just.
He's somebody that probably should just be out there wrestling more, because. they gave him the Sydal win. And remember, look, I know people, I don't know how much people put stock into these rankings. I gave up on them a long time ago. They put Sydal before that match as number 5 in their rankings. So they could essentially boost that, hey, Andrade beat the number 5 guy in the rankings going into this match. And then they've done nothing with him as far as in-ring wise since then. Like, I would have Andrade wrestle some of these matches that they're booking for other people right now.
No, I agree. That's the one that I actually say you can't convince me that's been good, the Andrade stuff. Like, I have no clue. Now, I get the idea is, like, he's kind of a coward. But then if you're going to do that, have him wrestling guys that he knows he can beat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least let him kick some ass, you know, because he has great offense. So you could definitely do that. It's just, yeah, it's...
Miro goes out there and smashes guys, but he still, like, gives a little something and whatnot. Like,
I know I'm biased, Jeremy. I know, and people are going to laugh, but I'm going to be honest. I really feel like that match is like a huge one for this show. I think they need Miro and Kingston on this show. And I know people probably dismiss it. They've got 9 matches already, whatever. I think Kingston's a promo away from that. We can make in that match like
huge.
Yeah. Easy. And like, you think about, you know, he's God's favorite champion. Like, Kingston can do a lot with that character. He can do a lot. I don't know. Again, as you said, that could be off rash. He may be putting it off. He may be like not sure, whatever it is. For me personally, I think the show will be great regardless, because I think the talent is high level. But that doesn't mean they can't do a better job with the build. My investment is an Eddie Kingston promo away from being 100. Right now, it's probably about 70. That's the impact of Eddie Kingston on me. Now, for you, it may only get you to an 80.
No, you give me Kingston and Miro. Look, I'm not the Kingston guy that you are, but like Miro, yeah. Kingston, you kidding me? Like, I'm in. I told, like, right. I look at this card and it's a good card. I'm sure it's going to be a great show. It, AEW in ring wise, it's tough for them to have a bad show with all the talent they have, right? But like, mm-hmm. as far as like stories and stuff that I'm invested in, a lot of it just ain't there for me.
I know, I understand. I completely get it. Now, here's a question for you. Jeremy Lambert, you've been sitting in the Now Arena for 4 hours. Kenny Omega has just finished his 30-minute match with Christian Cage. You're very tired. Your knees hurt like Bob O'Neill at the SummerSlam. You stand up, you look around, and then the final countdown hits, and out comes Bryan Danielson, okay? Oh. And then he goes head-to-head with Kenny, and I don't know, maybe they leave that with that being the Arthur Ashe main event. Omega, Danielson, because I know
I'm going Arthur Ashe if that's the case.
I know people hate when I do that, but like, let's be all real, guys. We're all friends here. Bryan could do anything, and none of us would be surprised. Like, he could come in and just be like, I'm gonna work Colton Gunn here on Dark. Give some time. You know, he's he is who he is. Like, whatever they do, if they leave All Out with another headline, because that was this be real. We have talked about Dynamite for all this time. We haven't talked about the big headline from last night, was Punk. I mean, not so subtly confirming.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's that part of it really does fascinate me. Of like, try and remind yourself that as good as the roster is, Bryan's coming. Like, that ain't fair.
We gotta be a little bit more patient. That was Punk. Like, the look on his face where he's like, should I just go ahead and like say this? And then like he kind of stumbles at the end where he's like, you gotta be a little bit more patient. He's like, oh shit, wait, should I have said this?
That was my read on it too, and I rewatched it. And someone said this on Twitter. Before that line, he asked like 6 straight questions. He was like, can CM Punk still go? Can CM Punk be the best in the world? He stopped in another 3 of them. And it was like, he's so smart at that stuff. Right. He may have had that in his back pocket.
Maybe.
I don't think he told anyone.
I don't think he told anyone either, because if you listen to Tony Schiavone's podcast, he's like, he didn't know what he was going to say for his initial promo. So that was weird, man.
Like, the novelty of him with Schiavone, that really felt like seeing Punk on like just a random Nitro.
Yes.
And I mean that with love. Like, it was really, I agree with you, it didn't feel like a mega big deal, but that's almost why I liked it. It was surreal to me. It was like, Punk's just here now.
Yeah.
And that's where his schedule, we talked about this on Twitch a little bit, his schedule fascinates me, man. Like, just how is he going to just be a regular character on the show? And if so, I really think it's a bigger deal than I ever considered. I don't know. I'm so intrigued to see how often we see Punk on this show. It's a Joseph, big thing for me. Yes.
I have a layer for you. Okay. They said Punk was the worst kept secret. They teased them. You know where I'm going already. They teased him out there. It's fine and everything. Bryan, like, openly teasing. You know, Punk mentions it. Omega's wearing the dragon shirt and everything. Like, it's another badly kept secret, right?
Yeah.
When does the best kept secret come in, Joseph? They haven't teased him at all. When is the best kept secret?
I legitimately don't do a show. I don't do a show anymore without talking about Buddy Murphy. He's not even the best kept secret anymore. He's the secret no more, which is definitely as good a name.
Well, definitely. At some point, he's gonna be the secret no more in the fleet.
Do you think, here, seriously? Because I talk about him on every show, but never give a prediction. Where do you think he's actually going?
I think he's going to the fleet.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. I just think everybody's going there, honestly.
Yeah, I think they want.
I mean, Adam Cole's gonna. You said that, you know, Bryan might come out at the end of All Out. I think Adam Cole, baby, coming out at the end of All Out.
We should talk about Adam Cole. Apparently, that's a big topic.
Real quickly, let me do some super chats. Frank Aguilar says, "Speaking of Phil, Bob's rendition of It's Clobbering Time absolutely made my day yesterday. What a character." Bob O'Neill is interviewed by Denise Salcedo today.
I have to give love to our chat, who is just Bud Matt for.
Stephen Hanley says, was Rampage taped along with Dynamite? It was. I think they booked for the live crowd. They didn't realize they need 2 main events now, not just 1. Maybe. That could be very possible.
I think that is actually a very good call. Yeah. I think they kind of got lost in the, you know, the depth of
of having to book two shows, and they're probably a little bit, because again, we'll see what Friday show look like. But I mean, that's a very good call. I kind of agree.
That's possible. All right. What are we talking about? What was
you had things? There was other stuff in the title I give you.
I know that, but you mentioned something before I read Super Chats. What was it?
Oh, I didn't.
The Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, we're not talking about that.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about that.
No, I was joking because everyone is talking. This is my actual bit, folks. I'm going to pull back the curtain. The more that I see talk about Adam Cole, baby, I just ramp up the Buddy Matthews talk. Because to me, I don't care. Right? It's just funny to me. Because everyone, no matter what happens, he could like a tweet, Britt could like a tweet, he could say something on Twitch, he could have a shirt on sale or whatever. It will fill my feed with updates on Adam Cole Bay Bay. So I just respond to it by being like, anyway, any update on Buddy Matthews?
No, sir. Did you see that Adam Cole Bay Bay is doing a Mattel signing?
Apparently it's taped.
Okay, Joseph, did you see Xavier Woods on Battle of the Brands, where he put over the Adam Cole and the Bay Bay's shirt, and then he said, you know, if I was you, I would go ahead and get that right now, because, you know, maybe suggesting that they might not be on sale anymore.
Okay. Do we both think he's going to AEW now?
I've said from the start he's going to AEW.
I'm not a scoopster, but the evidence seems to be leaning in that direction, doesn't it? If we're being honest to each other.
I'm not backing off of it.
Well, good luck to him. I hope he has fun. I mean, as long as he brings Buddy Matthews with him. Seriously, guys, I need all of you to know this. Next week when he comes out with Matt Hardy and he's called Big Money Bud, I will legitimately go on Twitter and every person on my timeline will be like, what the fuck, they put Buddy Matthews with Matt Hardy? And I will be so happy. I will quote tweet my own prediction with the clip of Matt's hilarious Titantron thing. This is where I'm at, folks. I can't lose anymore. You know, I convince myself I like things I wouldn't like. It's tremendous. What a rib.
I hope Adam Cole, baby, goes to AEW so I can dunk on all the WWE fans who are like, they booked him for the SummerSlam meet and greet. They booked him for Mattel. Seems good. Seems like he's going to sign. Dunk on those dorks.
I'm not going to lie to you. My whole interest in that story is literally that. Like, just the discourse, like, just people reacting to it. I don't really care. It's just funny, right? It's good stuff. Anyway, what's in the title of this video? We should talk about that stuff.
Becky Lynch is a heel. It's her call. You excited?
Not really.
Okay. Good talk.
Oh, what else we got?
Joseph, you going to watch SmackDown tomorrow? Brock's back. Becky's there. As a heel, which is her decision?
I mean, no, I'm not going to watch SmackDown, but it's pretty eventful, SmackDown. It should do a good number. Brock and Roman, we talked about on Monday. Cool match, right? I'll happily watch that.
I mean, that's not going to happen on SmackDown.
No, but I mean, like, as a general direction, okay. It is exciting to me. Now, okay. Raw, I have to say that poor Raw is struggling, you know? It's got nothing left, bless its heart. I mean, it's trying its best over there. Bill is probably going to come back. No, not. Definitely okay. Not. He's actually putting in no effort whatsoever, which is why we don't talk about it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good, right? SmackDown? SmackDown's good, apparently, I'm told.
I mean, it's got Roman, and now it's got Becky. I don't know if that, you know, it makes it different than Raw, but.
Yeah, it's blue.
Yeah. I don't know if it's always good.
Did you like last night on Dynamite when Matt Hardy would just walk to the camera and go, big money, Matt, like that over and over again? Did you like when he did that?
He brought back the delete last night.
Many times.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the delete.
I've got to be honest with you. I didn't like it at all. But I will say that big money, Matt, is not even an ironic pop for me anymore. Like, it's actually funny to me that he's big money, Matt. Like, and I know he's done it in TNA before. But, like, his whole thing just being that he's like, a carny is tremendous to me. By the way, speaking of carnies, Don Callis, he's a great television character, isn't he? My God, is he good. Yes. Like, when he took his stuff off, See, that's what I'm saying. The stuff I enjoyed on that show, I'm going to go back to Dynamite. I don't want to talk about this other stuff. The stuff I enjoyed, he was just a little puzzling, that's all. Anyway, what else was there? Sammy Joe?
I mean, people have seen the takes on the Patreon and the Twitch and everything, but... This was your moment, right, Joseph?
I actually walked the streets with NXT banner.
Yeah.
And I would just walk up to civilians and say, Sammy Joe is back and so is NXT. Fleet fucked. That's what I would say at Pitlin Ruler.
He hit the muscle buster, Joseph. He blocked out the muscle buster.
I don't get this, okay, and I'm happy to do this on air. He always did the muscle buster NXT. Always. And bless Tyson Kidd, but that was before. Remember, that was like at the start of his whole run.
Yeah, he beat Balor with it, right?
Right, and that was a year after the Tyson Kidd
incident. Right.
It's just the main roster has their own rules, and NXT, like clearly, Joe was wrestling, right? It's a different thing. But I thought NXT TakeOver was a great show. In all seriousness, we've dunked on that brand so many times. It was really nice to see the group of talent so obviously just go, we are going to rock this thing tonight. We don't care what the stories are. We don't know what the narrative is. We don't know what them upstairs are thinking about what we're doing here. We're going to just go and have the best show we can have. And my God, they did it. It's worth knowing because this is a wrestling podcast. Volta and Ilya Dragunov is one of the best matches you'll see. I mean, I'm going to go there. One of the best matches you'll ever see. Frankly, it was, I mean, it was special. And God bless the guys that had to follow. I don't think they managed it, but they tried their best. And very, very good show. I liked it a lot. Wrestling's good now, man. Have you heard?
No, I disagree.
Sorry to hear that.
I disagree. Joshua Baker says, opening third time is the charm, and Bud finally gets the librarian gimmick off the ground. And
he does do the shush thing. Did you notice that, Rob?
There you go.
There's some lore for you. Look, if it's in AEW, I've run it through the old fantasy booking brain with Bud Matt. I'm telling you, I've gone in every which direction with him. The fact that I've settled on Matt Hardy is such a tremendous rib. What a good deal.
That's a good one to put him with Matt Hardy. He's got to have a faction, right? Everybody's got a faction.
Hey, Jeremy.
Oh, no.
A month ago, sorry, not even that, 3 weeks ago, someone asked Matt Hardy, which signing would you most like? Which release wrestler, sorry, would you most like on the AEW roster? Guess who he said?
Did he say Buddy Murphy?
Did
Buddy Matthews? Did
he said Buddy Murphy at the time because he didn't want to expose the business. But yeah. Hey, do you know who Buddy Murphy's favorite wrestler was growing up?
Dolph Ziggler.
It was Jeff Hardy, which isn't Matt, but close enough. Probably like Matt anyway.
You sure it wasn't Dolph Ziggler? He loves Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, we have enough time on this show so we can tell this. So I did a job for Jeremy Lambert, freelance. I listened to a Bud Matt interview for him and sent him which stories he could do. And then he would go and transcribe them. And this gentleman calls in from his car. And he's like, you know, anyone in WWE you didn't get a chance to wrestle, you'd love to wrestle him. But Jeremy and I both know what he's answering because he says the same thing in every. He says, Buddy, he says Dolph Ziggler, right? We could have said Buddy Murphy. He says Dolph Ziggler. And this dude sitting there in his car just goes, Dolph Ziggler? Really? And Bud just is left to just sit there after being owned by this poor dude who's just disgusted at the answer he got. Tremendous stuff. You're right, Zach. The Jamie Hayter, I'll be honest with you guys, I'll be completely sincere. I liked a lot of Jamie Hayter Red Velvet. That last 30 seconds was sad enough for me. I just pretend it didn't happen. I just didn't want to be mean. I think Red Velvet is such a good bumping baby face. And sometimes you'll see her do stuff without being the most obvious stuff where you just go, oh, man, long way to go. You know, it's baby steps. Like, they need to do a way better job with the women, no doubt. But we also, I do think it's worth always being honest about, like, a lot of the women still have a long way to go in their progression. And as long as that keeps being a thing and they're given the time to, which is a big, big thing on AEW's part. Let's get it right. 1 minute dark matches ain't going to do it, you know? I think Jamie Hayter showed a lot of good. I just didn't think they gelled particularly, to be quite honest with you. But, I mean, she's a great addition for sure. I apologize for not discussing it. I was too busy telling stories of a meet and greet Q&A.
I got more if you want to listen to some more, like, Q&As, Joseph.
No, I've never listened to another one of those Q&As. They're very.
I'm gonna send you another Bud Matt one, and you're gonna listen to it for me.
I'll do Bud Matt. I'm all for Bud Matt lore.
Is there like a list of like people I can send to you?
I'll do it here now. We have enough time. Roderick Strong, Bud Matt. Yeah, I don't think Roddy's doing any right now. that's two of the only wrestlers I like. Samoa Joe's probably not doing any right now.
He's just doing a bunch of interviews. He's not doing fan.
Is he just? Good God, I was going to watch some of them. He did about 100 of them.
He did. Yeah, it's not a bunch of them.
Well, I think that's about everyone that I like.
You heard the story of how he got released and then he got signed back in like 2 hours. Yeah.
It's good stuff. Good
story.
Yeah. So anyway, Becky Lynch is a heel, Jeremy. What do you think about that?
I think it's her call, so we have to respect it and we have to like it. And, you know, it's what she wants. So I don't think we can be, like, really angry about it. And let's see how it plays out.
I was going to say you should let it play out. And for everyone complaining, that is not conversation by any means.
By the way, isn't it?
You go. I was going to do a concede defeat bit. Go ahead.
Isn't it dumb that just like Becky comes back and she wants to be a heel, knowing she's going to get like these big pops and stuff? Like,
yeah,
somebody's got to. Either somebody's like, I don't think this is the best idea, or Becky's got to be like, you know what, this probably just isn't going to work right now.
But like, man, it's in their minds, and I'm sure Becky's the same. They think she's going to put Bianca over and it's going to make her a bigger star. But the high likelihood is the crowd is going to reject Bianca in favor of cheering Becky because they're going to think they're being asked to do otherwise, and they're going to end up damaging both assets, and the fans will be to blame as they always are.
Exactly.
And I will never talk about that when it happens. But as the power of Goldie says in the chat there, have you seen how they book faces? That is legitimately probably Becky's, like, half of her motivation.
Yeah, but she can do her own booking, essentially. She's she's the man, and she gets the reaction, you know, regardless.
There's a lot of people out there that think that us media folks like to be negative about wrestling. And to that, I would like to say the fact that I didn't enjoy Dynamite as much has led to me talking about Brock Lesnar and Becky Lynch on this show, which I'm terribly, terribly sorry to hear that. That is not what I plan to do, but that's what happens when a show isn't great. We have to talk about WWE.
The EP weighs in. I just got this text. Do you think Becky sees Roman's transformation? Sorry, let me get her words correctly. Transformation as a heel and wants to give that a whirl.
Yes, I do. Okay. I think she sees how much control Roman has got over himself as a heel and probably thinks, if I'm a babyface, I'm going to be slipping on banana peels every other week, getting, you know, rolled up like a dipshit. Did you see that clip of the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, from 2019 or 2018, where the interviewer goes to him, there's a main event with you and Miz, right? It's like a 10-year story, and he goes, what have WWE shown you that makes you think I can get this through to WrestleMania? He actually says that. And the gentleman
I remember
is like,
this.
Yeah, and the gentleman goes, well, they did it with you at WrestleMania 30. And he's like, yeah, if something happens on accident, they might be able to figure it out. But, you know, it's like the thing with this, and we've done this a million times, and I'm truly glad that our audience accepts us not, you know, analyzing WWE, because it's just, there's no point analyzing it. They're going to make money regardless. They're fine. Like, it's not wrestling logic, is it, to do what they did with Becky and Bianca? Like, we all know that. Everyone in here knows that. It's just the way they, you know, they just do shit and they'll figure out what happens afterwards. So here's what it is. But it's a real shame that Dynamite wasn't good because we ended up having to talk about it, which is not ideal. Anyway, in only 3 hours on BTI, Buddy Matt debuts.
I'm making sure the EP has to pay for getting her question, comment, statement read on the air. Like,
I was going to ask super you about
chats. Yeah, like Drew. See, Drew pays $5, and we read his statement here, and it says, and everyone thought Bray Wyatt having creative control was a bad idea. Yeah, well.
Where's he going, Jeremy?
Well, did you see the CM Punk shoe that said BW, which stands for Bray Wyatt? Or potentially...
actually stands for Buddy Wins.
What did he just answer, like, best of wishes?
Here's what actually happened. Last week definitely didn't stand for what they say it did, but he now knows for looking at his shoes, and he's going to write initials every single week.
Last week stood for fuck Christian and Adam Copeland, and then Gangrel said, I was supposed to be on the show last night, but
yeah, that's
Edge
wild.
Did the entrance, and so Gangrel wasn't on the show.
That's wild that actually happened. Like, two brood things in, like, one... 1 week. That's tremendous. I don't know. Is Bob ready? Can Bob come on and just, you know, skip?
We got one more super chat. So there's no way it was Becky's idea to squash Bianca in 12 seconds. I can't see how this turns into a positive, especially because this is WWE. All right, Joseph, you ready?
I'm not.
Okay, got to pull up the clip here. Here we go. How you doing, Robert O'Neill?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. It's going great, man.
We had about half an hour of content, and then for the last 20 minutes, we've just been popping ourselves because Dynamite was kind of shit, so we didn't really have anything to talk about, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, and just like a thing about that, like, they're allowed to have, like, not great shows once in a while.
You're such a bootlicker for them, Bob. I'm joking. Go ahead, pal.
Yeah, I don't know. I scripted a whole thing out about like
don't go behind the scenes here and
high five.
Yeah,
I'm not sticking to it. Anyway.
Hey Bob, why don't you read your promo like Dan Lambert does?
Oh,
why don't you go after the wokes?
Listen,
man. Ethan Page needed a mouthpiece. That's some shit. I don't know what to do with that.
Well, yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's like when they gave Jim Cornette that segment on Raw in the 97 or whatever, and it's like that wasn't very good and this isn't very good. Why are they doing this?
I get it. He's a heel, I understand. I just think like the show's so much better than that usually. Let's not start doing that shit, you know? It's just no need. But Bob's internet is kind of shitty, right? Is he doing me this week? Is he doing a cosplay?
Yeah, I don't, it's gonna storm here, so I don't know. We might not be able to do like a full segment here, just kind of hang out for a little
it's
bit.
Only 3 minutes, Bob, so I mean.
No, we've got to do. People expect the corner three, O'Neill. Like, that's what true. They expect. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's play the intro here. History pilot, bang!
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I do really want to focus on Brock's return and mostly just kind of being there and just kind of how we react to wrestling moments in general, you know, because, you know, I did watch Rampage last week live just because I knew Punk was going to be there. And it's like, you know, obviously, during his entrance, they show the guy crying, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. That, like, adds to the special kind of factor of the moment. And then, you know, I go online later, and everyone's making fun of that guy, and I'm like, why? I mean, like, there's so many wrestling fans that, like, you know, they look for the camera, they try and get their shit in, and this guy's just having, like, a genuine reaction, and everyone's just shitting on him for no reason. So then, you know, I go to SummerSlam the next night, and, you know, show's going along, and, you know, we're getting to the main event, and my friend that I'm there with is like, hey, you know, what are you going to do? It's not going to happen, but what are you going to do if, you know, Brock comes out at the end of this match? I'm like, well, you know, probably won't happen. But I'm like, you know, that guy in Dynamite or Rampage who's crying about Punk, you know, that's probably going to be me. And I legitimately thought that that would be my reaction just because, you know, I was convinced that Brock was either not ever coming back or going to UFC or, you know, whatever the hell. So, you know, the match goes on, and, you know, it's over, and it's like, oh, they did the surprise return with Cena at Money in the Bank. They're probably not going to do it again. And then, you know, the music hits, and you ever get, like, caught off guard by something where you got to take a couple seconds just to kind of gather yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens, and then I just, like, lose my mind, just going crazy with it, and it's like, yeah, just what a cool moment, man, you know? And I did take a second, like, after it all kind of settled down and just kind of sat there, and I was like, wow, like, that actually happened. Like, my bit where I say he's coming back every week paid off in the best way possible, and it was just cool. It was a special moment. It's something that I'm really going to cherish and remember for a long time, and I'm really glad that I was able to be there for it. But, you know, I think my thing is, like, especially after the past year and a half, is if something is important to someone and they give a genuine reaction, that should be applauded. Because it's been tough for everyone. So if people can find kind of good things and things that they enjoy, I think that we need to kind of applaud that a little bit more instead of turning people into memes. That came up a little short, but, you know, if you guys want to read this.
Well, Bob, you took a very different approach this week's segment.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I scripted some of it, and then I didn't stick to it. But, yeah, I mean, I just – there.
Was that your, like, very long-winded way of telling us you cry up when Brock Lesnar came out?
I didn't, actually. I came close, but yes, no.
Kind of sounded like you, like, almost definitely cried.
Almost, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, it was cool.
That was good.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, Bob. History pilot, bang!
I didn't expect that to go that way. It turned into an after-school special there.
I was waiting for him to just, like, do a bit, and then he was like, my point is, don't be mean. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with everything Bob said. His delivery popped me because he was so nervous about being cut off before the end that he went so quick. It was tremendous.
That was very wholesome.
It really was very nice. This has been a weird show, much like Dynamite, you know?
Yeah. Where do we go from here?
I'm surprised. I honestly thought he was going to dedicate his 3 minutes to Buddy Matthews, but he didn't. So
you were laughing in the middle of it. It seemed like you knew where he was more, kind of going.
It was more the bit when he went. He was like, "Yeah." So I was losing my mind and going crazy.
He was doing like a movie monologue, but he wasn't really particularly delivering it. Now, it was good stuff. Good Bob. Good job, Bob. Good Bob, I said. Good Bob. Good job. I don't know, man. What do you want to say after that? Should we do that thing again when we go, wrestling's good now? Should we do that?
Because I disagree.
Do you realize that live on air, Bob just became like one of those be positive accounts with like a heart emoji at the end of it?
You get interviewed by Denise Salcedo one time and it's just life changing.
Just become a big fucking mark.
Manuel Rosales says, thought it was awesome how Black started throwing shoot punches.
Dude.
And Anderson started bleeding.
He punched the shit out of Brock. Did you see that? He was lining him up.
He should have thrown a shoot kick at Arn, because Arn just like put his hands up. He's like, that's it.
He kicked him in the dick instead.
That sucked, dude.
Did you not like that? No.
A lot of people didn't. He just got his hands up and blocked it. Like, what? I've seen MMA fights. I know like those shots can get through the guard and still kind of like rattle you a little bit. Like Arn just, he just took it. He's an 80-year-old man. He's like, that was it.
Hey, hey. It's raining in with the 8-year-old old pal. It's Arn Anderson. Let's have some respect. No, a lot of people hated it. I get you, but I didn't mind it. It's a spin kick, dude. You know?
62. Sorry.
I'll tell you what I didn't like.
I was like totally better.
Hmm? Liar. Here's what I didn't like. Why didn't Malakai do the cool foot on the chest pin again? That frustrated me. He did a wrestling pin. That was cowardly.
He was more worried about Brock kicking out than he was Cody. Cody's a little punk.
I really thought, okay, here's a question, because the Power Confirmed shoot suggests this to me. He goes, I enjoy that show way more if Dustin comes out at the end instead. And I was like, listen, full disclosure, me too.
Yes. I wanted to say that Dustin, if Dustin comes out, it probably gets a bigger reaction. Like, I think that's what they're going to set up anyway. Yes. I thought they were going to set that up for All Out, which... You know, we ripped on, they ain't doing Hager and Dustin on these shows. Like, no, we'll just do Malakai and Dustin, like squash match.
Dude, put Gurney Mac's comment on the screen, please.
Bob is going to have a live, love, laugh picture behind on the next stream.
I'm imagining Bob like, hey guys, welcome back to another positive Raw review here. It's like 4-minute runs. 4-minute show. And he's sitting there. Anyway, let me tell you, I'm really coming around on this Jackson Ryker guy.
Oh, God. All right. We need to end this
show. Just get out of here before we get in trouble.
Yeah. Guys, we'll be on Twitch in about 10 minutes or so, give or take. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Head over there. We're talking about more wrestling. We'll take your questions, comments. We'll do a Q&A. Chat always dictates kind of what we talk about on that. We'll talk about the Dynamite ratings. I see it did 1.17 million. Which was the most since April 14th. Really? I feel like
you know those charts of the ratings where it's like a graph?
Yeah, I know. I've heard of graphs.
You have? Okay. They're going to draw a line in the middle when Bud comes in next week and joins the Hardy family office, and they're going to have before Bud, after Bud. Probably a couple million viewers, you know?
Yeah, probably.
That's what I hear. Needle move. That's the word. That's the phrase we all use now, right? Does he move the needle?
Yeah.
Does anyone care?
Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. That's where we shall be. Subscribe to Fightful Select. There's just Fightful Select. You see it on the top there. I'm just like pointing to my screen where all you just see is like my knuckles. But
yeah, it's not ideal.
Fightful Select, Sean. Yeah, there you go. Fist bump in there. Sean apparently has Brock news coming to Fightful Select. So there you go. Get
apparently he's all elite.
Oh, Brock?
Jeremy. BTI tonight. Tune in. Brock Lesnar.
Fightful Select, you can support us on the Patreon. Patreon.com/TheDistraction. We got a lot of content over there. A lot of content. Way too much content. You doing a show tonight over there too, Joseph?
In this mood, probably, yeah. I don't know. I need to sleep at some point, pal.
Yeah, nah, who cares? Sleeps are cowards.
True.
That's it, right? We'll be back next week. Oh, okay. Joseph, next week.
Yes.
Big segment. I got to hype this. I'm very proud of this, all right? Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been on a tremendous run with cold opens. Pretty much every cold open we've done has been our best cold open ever. Next week, our cold open will be very good, I promise. You'll want to stick around till about like the 410, 415 mark next week. You should do it every week when we go that far. Main event segment. I'm main eventing with this. It's not even the cold open, which is our best stuff. Our show actually sucks. Our cold open is what you should tune in for. Next week, main event segment. It's going to deliver. That's all I'm saying. It's going to deliver.
I don't want to comment on this. All I asked you is, will I need to do something like physical? Would I need to be like a... Then would I need to do some sort of stunt? Or is it just, am I going to be watching some sort of insanity take place? You know? That's all I want to know.
That's all you want to know? I'm not going to tell you anything, Joseph. Oh, you should get your gift. You'll get it. Once you see it, you'll know. And then we'll go from there. All
right? Well, I have to open it on the air, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I assume it's a contract that we've signed Buddy Matthews to the show.
Guys, I'm promising. I promise you. I promise you it's going to deliver. All right? The biggest pop in distraction history. Biggest pop in distraction history. We'll see y'all next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.